Hello, everybody, and welcome to Geek Actually, episode 138 for the 2nd of July, 2011. And for all of our American listeners out there, happy 4th of July in a couple of days, guys. I have to give it to you now because we won't be on air.
But then when you say it, what if it's after the 4th of July?
That they actually listen to the show?
Yeah.
Well, that's their problem.
Well, it's for the next 4th of July, for 2012, obviously.
You know, you pretend to be a nice guy, Dave. I'm just saying.
I'm sick. Leave me alone. All right. I'm in studio. I'm Dave McVeigh. I am joined by Josh Philpott. Yeah. And as our geek newbie, we also have the real bits. What do you call yourself? Editor-in-chief?
Director? Yeah, I'll call myself editor-in-chief. Yeah.
God. Okay, God, yeah. Richard Gray. There you go. God,
that's
Richard.
Definitely an editor right there.
Richard God Gray is in the house with us.
I can get used to that.
For the Geek Actually show. I even have a super that even reflects that. Look. Ta-da. There you go. Yes.
Nice.
Richard has decided that he's coming on our film show again. And I said, well, why don't you come on the Geek show as well? He goes, I know nothing about geek. It's like, yes, you do. You're doing WordPress themes.
We'll be gentle. That's all I can guarantee at this stage.
And then I also tried to explain to him that we really know nothing anyway, and we make it all up as we go along.
Hooray!
So that's all that really matters. All right, this is the Geek Actually show. This is where we took our old tech show, we took our after show, we mushed the two together, and we basically created a podcast that really is about nothing at all. And it's kind of fun. It's just, you know, it's just us just chewing the fat. Our links come to us courtesy of David Murray, a.k.a. Delta Knight, in our chat room, who is also our moderator. How are you, Delta? He's our researcher for this show, and he sent through a very disorganized bunch of links this week. He had gone out to dinner and basically just spewed links onto the page and said, here, work it out.
Must have been some dinner.
we are attempting to wade our way through this. It did actually take me a little bit of time, but I think we should start the show, as usual, with a little bit of feedback. There's no heavy-duty feedback this week, so we're just going to have a quick read. Probably going to paraphrase some of these because we want to move through this fairly quickly. First one, though, is from our friend Corin, who has been keeping us up to date with his moving and everything that's been going on. He says, hi, Dave and Josh, and I assume and Richard, but, you know, he didn't know you were going to be here. This mail is not really too much of a feedback than more of a happy birthday for Dave.
Thanks,
dude. He said, just listened to the first few minutes of the last week's Geek Show and had to listen repetitively to the first few minutes of the podcast. Somehow I must have missed when you told us the date in the show 2 weeks ago. So when you now said that you had a birthday the day before, then the first, this is all very confusing. Bottom line is, if we paraphrase this, it was also his birthday.
Man.
So the 24th of June, red letter day, dude. Not only Dave Kaziki from Raw DLC, me, Corin, and I'll also like to say that it's also Peter Weller, RoboCop himself. It's his birthday as well. So there you go.
Good company.
So it's a good birthday. He also does say that he is getting his internet turned on soon. Josh asked for his new suburb. He says it's in East Lakes.
Okay, nice.
So there you go. Nice. He says, not favorite, but cheap.
Yeah, I was about to make a joke about that too. So there you go. Saved me the time.
And he says, it's a good thing that there are still people out there. Oh, no. That's right. He actually says in brackets, maybe we shouldn't read this part. Basically, you read that part and we'll get back to it. It'll make you laugh. The very last section there. Have a sip of my beverage and we will move on. There's an email after that. So thank you very much for that one, Corin. Oh, and the next email here comes from Bianca.
Ah, right.
Yeah.
Yes, now I get it.
You get it.
Okay. Very funny.
No, we won't share that with the show. That's okay. Now, Bianca
Private joke.
Bianca, it's a very geeky thing. Hey, David and Josh. I would like to thank you for having time to put in my little tidbit this week. I really was shocked to hear my name. This is last week we read something from Bianca.
Yes.
This week's podcast has some really interesting technical development, the memory chip and the nano generator. Yeah, it was very interesting tech last week. It's excellent that we are developing this memory chip technology for the elderly, but could it also be a bad thing? Consider a student in high school or university installs this chip and puts all their classwork onto the chip. Now, does that student have a higher advantage than the other students, or is this considered cheating? Well, all I can say is if we got to a point where we had those chips on our head, probably everybody would have those chips on their head. Yeah. So you
and
would actually be considered disadvantaged.
There would be no use
didn't.
For school, and we'd probably save thousands of tax dollars and put them into something else because it would be like, oh, you're at high school? Done.
There you go. We need algebra. There's the algebra chip, you know, and so forth. So,
there'd be thousands of children running around with nothing to do.
I would personally have a memory chip R4 card so that I could cheat on that shit and stick my own stuff inside it.
Damn
just
straight.
Get my little SD card and plug it in.
And you'd be able to pick up pirate chips that would have all sorts of interesting stuff that technically isn't legal. Anyway, she goes on to say there is a difference.
Somewhere before.
There is a difference.
I can become a memory chip courier.
Oh. And we'll change your name to Johnny.
We're trademarking that film idea right now.
All right, there is a difference between someone who studies and someone who can just put the information into their mind. So will this chip be only available to those with Alzheimer's, stroke survivors, and the elderly? And if not, where is the limit of what you can, where you can put these chips? Well, the bottom line is these chips have only been used in mice so far. So I don't think we're really at that point where we have to worry about this ethical question.
I think we can wait a little while.
But the bottom line is that. Ethically, you look at it and go, yeah, it opens up a whole can of worms as to where this could go. But and also remember, if you remember the study with the mice, they said if they took the chip out or turned the chip off, the mouse forgot. Mm-hmm. So they're not actually learning anything.
Yeah.
So there is a disadvantage. So you may still want to go to school because that way you actually lock it into your brain rather than just being a plug-in chip that could be pulled out of your head at any time. I guess on a lighter note, she says, the nano generator will be developed enough to be able to charge just items such as the iPhone or an MP3 player. It would be convenient when one is going about their daily activities and have the devices to be charged, not fully, of course, but just enough, if you know what I mean. Absolutely. And that's kind of what we were getting at with that that story, which was that the advantages of the what's it called? The kinetic charging is the fact that you would just be charging it by doing everyday things, and that's fantastic. Okay, Delta Knight in our chat room. By the way, we go out live. We start roughly around the 12 o'clock mark. Our chat room has been berating us today because we never start on time. Roughly around the 12 o'clock mark. And we do have a chat room, so you can come and join us. geekactually.com/live every Saturday, 12 p.m. ish, around that time. Australian Eastern Standard Time. Our chat room, Delta Knight, has actually said at least they will know where the cheese is. I think he's referring to the students. Now, this was actually just kind of a public service announcement. Geek Betty, our friend, just wrote this, said that on Simon Pegg's Twitter, he recently tweeted out and said, some fucker has hacked my account. I did not post any Paul screensaver. Do not download it. We'll get back to you. So if you have seen a Paul screensaver on Simon Pegg's Twitter feed, do not download it. All right? That's the message of the day. Okay. That's it for feedback, guys. Let's move on. I want to show you a picture. And when I show you this picture, I want you to tell me what you think this is. All right? All right. What looks like a vagina is actually a robotic armpit.
I know that.
All right, now...
See, we were already onto that, obviously. I'm still struggling to find that.
There's something very disturbing about this picture.
It's got eyes.
Now, according to this article, these people have been developing robotic armpits that look...
out of all the things that we need in society right now, a motherfucking armpit?
And not only does it look horrendous, but apparently, according to the article, it also smells bad. It smells like an armpit. God. And all I can think is, if I had lost my arm and I wanted a robotic arm, the one thing that I could say that you don't need to replace would be my armpit. It's okay.
I think these have been developed by Rexona to sell more stuff.
They're actually testing devices. They're seeing how well things,
Anyway, so I think I don't actually have any robot apocalypse news this week. That one was sent through and all I could think was...
Well, at least we know when we get robots, they'll smell just like we do.
Actually, this might help us avoid the robot apocalypse because we can smell them coming.
We'll be able to smell them coming, absolutely. So my show notes, I've just written, why? What benefit does this serve?
Pretty much covers it.
Now, just when you thought the Winklevoss twins, or as the social network so eloquently put it, the Winklevi. Yeah.
Speaking of armpits,
about a week ago, they actually dropped their case. They finally said they weren't
going
to go to the Supreme...
Weren't they going to go? I just heard like less than a week ago that they were going at it again.
Ah, that's where we're coming into the story. And by the way, here they are. Here's the real Winklevoss twins, not the guy from the movie. But they look kind of meatheadish, just like the guy from the movie. So it's a very good casting. Yeah. But anyway, apparently they were going to take their appeal to the Supreme Court, if you remember. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about how this is just getting out of control. Well, they dropped it. They finally said, okay, we're not going to do that. But this week,
here we go. I knew there
this was week, the Winklevi actually have now issued a new court case.
And what are we looking at this time?
Well, apparently some text messages and stuff have surfaced from that period of time from Mark Zuckerberg, which they believe were held as evidence during their case. And these would have been damning for Zuckerberg, and they feel that these should now be entered into the public record and that the case should be re-looked at again because their $65 to $100 million isn't enough.
No, of course not.
And they believe that it should be looked into. And the Digital Trends, Yahoo News, has got this article that I've got here. They have one of these text messages as a sample, and there's a link to show you some more. But this is a sample of one of these text messages they're talking about. So, quote unquote, this is apparently Mark Zuckerberg says, "So you know how I'm making that dating site, the Twins site. I wonder how similar that is to the Facebook thing, because they're probably going to be released around the same time, unless I fuck the dating site people over and quit on them right before I told them I'd have it done."
That seems like a...
That seems pretty damning to me.
Yeah, that's a very strong
text message.
It's
a bit vague to me.
A bit vague.
What's he trying to say there?
So, yeah, so they are... Apparently, there's a whole bunch of these messages and emails, text messages, etc.
Yeah.
And Winklevi are now saying, these should have been in evidence.
And how did they get hold of these?
Because obviously Mark Zuckerberg had a much better lawyer than they did.
Wow.
So James from Melbourne in our chat room has pointed out these guys are the masters of subtlety.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
So all right, so we wait to see what happens with the Winklevi next. And, you know, quite frankly, they'll probably be thrown out of court again. There's a certain point where you sit there and say, you've been paid.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
I mean, how much more can they actually pull out of him? I mean,
well, one of their arguments has been that they believe it was undervalued at the time.
Right.
And they believe they should have been given more.
Right.
All I can say is, dudes, go do something with your life. You've got lots of money now. Go do something, you know?
Go sue David Fincher instead.
I love the fact that this picture that we have of them that we're showing is actually at the social networks. It's at the actual junket for the
social
networks.
My God, I'm seeing double for Winklevi.
That's just creepy.
There's been a lot of people who complain about the NBN. Yes. Now, we're not some of them, because we actually look forward to the NBN. But there is an article written by the ABC on abc.net.au this week, which was a really interesting article, because it basically says all the complaining, bitching, you know, people jumping up and down and saying how it costs this, it costs that. Nobody actually seems to actually understand what the NBN is. And he wrote...
Really? People complaining about stuff they don't understand? Well, I've never heard of that
exactly.
happening before.
And so he's written an article which explains what the NBN actually is and to try and make sense of it. And to paraphrase the article down, basically what he's saying is that all it's doing is replacing the infrastructure of the copper. So at the moment... Because one of the big complaints has been, oh, everybody will have to deal with the NBN to get it. But at the moment, everybody has to deal with Telstra. It's the same basic concept. Everybody licenses the copper lines from Telstra. The copper lines are owned by Telstra. So what's happening is the copper lines are being sold to the NBN, being dismantled and being replaced with fiber. And so now you'll deal with the NBN to get connection. The general public will never deal with the NBN. Because the NBN is just a wholesaler, and they're going to sell the service to iiNet and Telstra and Optus and everybody else, and we will just deal with them, and we can still shop around and get the best deal we want from the best provider we want. You know, so all they're doing is replacing an infrastructure that's, what, almost 100 years old with something that's going to last into the next millennium.
One of the quotes I like from bottom of the article, and I think I've got it here, she said that telcos will still bundle services together like they do already, but maybe, heck, even new models might emerge, which I think is the really important thing that people might be forgetting here, that, you know, as you said, it's been 100 years old.
Yeah.
And,
you know, even in America...
We're a laughing stock, really, in terms of our connection speed. You go to Japan.
Yeah, well, and the other laughing stock is America. And Wozniak, we actually did a quote from Wozniak, Steve Wozniak from Apple, last week, where they're basically saying... Wozniak was saying that the NBN is fantastic and it's something that you will never see in America because it's too big, there are too many people, and there's too many corporations all vying to be in charge of it. And so the fact that we can actually pull this off and actually make this fiber to the home connection nationwide is a remarkable infrastructure move, you know? And it's something that should be applauded because we're all going to have... Agreed. It's going to bring equality to all of our connections, you know? We had a comment we read last week from Rob, who was basically, I have fiber to the house. Yeah, but that's fiber to the house to your node from your service provider. It's not nationwide, you know? I think NBN is a fantastic thing. And this article is well worth having a look at because this guy really does kind of lay it out as to just the structure of what is actually being proposed here. And speaking of NBN, we got the great story straight after that. Oh, actually, it's actually further, a little bit further down. I've put the notes in the wrong order here. But there's a guy we should mention very quickly who – now, I've lost the article. Where is he? The guy who moved.
He's just
Where did I put that?
He's just below Microsoft.
Oh, there he is. Yes. Yes. This is this customer of the NBN who was so determined to be one of the first customers of the NBN that he moved house.
Jesus Christ. There you go.
I'll see if I can pull up this article. My internet's running a bit slow on the iPad here. Come on, hurry up here. Basically, he's the CEO of an IT company. Mm. But he really – and he had no plans on – oh, shit. See? Goodreader just collapsed. He was actually, that's why it was going slow. He had no intention of moving house 6 months ago. And then he found out that this suburb was about to get the NBN. So he just literally uplifted his wife and moved house. I'm paraphrasing the article, of course. But I just think that is a fabulous story. In the show notes, that link is there. All right.
We salute you, sir.
We salute you. Look, you know, I'd do it, but we don't have anyone around here. I'm not about to move out to where they are.
This was in Adelaide. I'm
Yeah.
No one wants to go to Adelaide.
Well, unless you're a biker gang or want to be in a barrel.
Barrel people.
barrel people. Sorry, for those outside of Australia, you probably don't get that reference. I'm sorry.
You could either watch a movie called Snowtown or just save yourself 2 hours and not.
Owned.
very well done. Okay. California, this is right up Josh's wheelhouse. California has been.
I have a wheelhouse.
You have a wheelhouse, dude. Whenever it comes to games, man, that's your wheelhouse. Excuse me, did I say I'm sick? California has been fighting a law for some time now, fighting for a law some time, basically making it illegal to sell violent video games to minors.
Right.
Mm. Now,
because birds don't have the wingspan to handle a controller.
Not that kind of minor.
Right. Sorry.
the video game market has been arguing the point that the same rules apply to video games that apply to films that apply to everything else, which is a First Amendment issue, which is if you want to play it, you're allowed to play it.
Right.
It's as simple as that. America has a Bill of Rights. What a concept. Yeah. We don't. All right. Apparently, a ruling of 7-2 came down from the Supreme Court and basically sided with the video game industry and said, if the kids want to play the games, let them play the games.
Mm. I love that image up there. It's California versus video games. Games win.
Games win. So basically, the court did actually see it as a First Amendment issue and said, yes, if a child goes into a shop and wants to buy a video game, because the thing that a lot of people outside of America don't understand is the rating systems in America are voluntary. They mm-hmm. are self-regulated, self-controlled. Mm. And the ESRB is not law.
Mm.
It is just a recommendation. Exactly. And so the shops cannot tell you, oh, this is rated 18 or something like that. You can't play it because it's not actually a law.
Yeah.
It's just a guideline, just a recommendation. And the California state law has basically now said, yes, we agree with that.
Oh, awesome.
So there you go.
What a concept.
Now it's July, guys. Mm. And all I can say is, being July, aren't the Governor General, or sorry, the Attorney General supposed to be meeting this month?
Mm. Yeah, well.
Have we heard anything about this? No. I haven't seen anything about this at this point. Chat
Speaking
room,
of Adelaide, yeah.
actually, he's not the holdout now. Apparently.
No,
apparently. He's not the holdout anymore. Yeah, so we are waiting sometime in July. I think it's actually end of July.
Just to find out what's going on.
Yeah, well, and I'm really curious to see if the federal government does step up to the plate. Yeah. Because as we reported several months ago, the federal government actually said that if they don't make a decision in July this time, they're going to make the decision and they're going to take it out of the hands of the Attorney General.
I don't know whether that's necessarily a good thing, though, because it's looking like if that happens, we down in New South Wales are screwed because we're not going to get one. So, yeah, like I know that there are two states at the moment that are definitely going ahead, definitely happening, but apart from that, we don't know.
Like, yeah, but if the federal government steps in and basically says, let's change the way this is set up, and they say we are instigating an R rating for games, that's a federal law.
Mm.
Yeah.
So, you know, and all I can say is the way the system works at the moment is broken.
Mm.
And if they can't make a decision, then the decision, they have to fix the system.
Yeah.
You know?
And I don't know, man. I've given up. I don't believe that this is actually going to happen. That's my problem.
You pessimist.
No, it's just, I've just seen that many, like, and it just opens up a whole world of understanding to politics and just how bullshit it all is. Like, I'm sick and tired of this sort of attitude that's just like, just delay it. It's like, why? Yeah. What's wrong with a conclusion? Like, I don't even care what the conclusion is anymore. I just want something to happen. And I don't know if it ever is going to, man. It just, I don't feel like it.
Well, who knows? Yeah, keep talking into your mic, dude. I'm listening to my headset and you go all quiet when you talk to me. You turn your head and you go all quiet. Okay, how about this one? How about this one for just getting under my skin? Microsoft is trying to patent a new technology that will allow them to spy on Skype. Because as you know, they now own Skype.
That's valid.
And so that now what they're basically saying is, you know, governments can actually tap phones. Government can record calls, blah, blah. They can't actually do that with VoIP at the moment. So we're going to help them out. We're going to create a VoIP technology that allows them just to. And the difference is bugging a phone, they have to actually physically bug the phone. With VoIP, they can do it all from their office. You know? So, yes, they are trying to patent this at the moment. We don't know whether this is going to go ahead or not. But, yes, they are applying for a patent on some technology that would allow them to spy on Skype.
Has anybody actually used it since Microsoft took over?
Yeah, I use it all the time.
I just absolutely hate it.
It hasn't actually changed that much yet.
Like, it's the little things. Like, it's like when you now go to the website and go to install it. You've now got to do all the stuff from the website before you actually download
the program. Oh, you had to do that before Microsoft took it over.
Yeah, but now there's all these ads popping up, and it's a giant commercial website, whereas it never used to. Yeah, it's like, true. Now it's like, oh, do you want to pay $6.99 to do this? And you're like, I just want to get Steam. Can I just get
to Skype? Yeah.
Yeah. And little things like now the little adverts that pop up over the actual thing.
Mm-mm.
It's like...
What we're waiting for is the next generation of Skype, because apparently it brands as Microsoft on the next round.
Mm, really?
So at the moment it's still branded Skype, but it will be Microsoft Skype soon. And we've also got another story coming up. We'll just throw it in here really quickly, which is basically that they're bringing Skype to the iPad finally. So it looks like, because Skype is available as an iPhone app, which you can use on your iPad. But they are putting a dedicated iPad version, and this is all Microsoft trying to get as many fingers in the pie as possible now. So
they're trying to do the same thing that Mac's. They're trying to do the same thing Mac's doing, which is try to infect the other side so that you can start pulling people off.
I like how you use the word infect and same sentence.
Seriously, if I get another Mobile Me fucking pop up on my computer, I'm going to stab.
Well, you won't
get
any more of those in a year because it's being obliterated.
Yes.
All right. So speaking of Mobile Me, there was actually some talk this week about iWeb because iWeb is being eliminated.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people are basically saying, how dare they eliminate my iWeb? And like, iWeb's a piece of shit anyway. But the point is it should be noted that with iWeb, you can generate the site into a folder, which you can then upload to any site. You don't necessarily have to have Mobile Me. Yes, you don't get all the lovely updating features, but you can still use it if you really want to. All right, so the Samsung versus Apple debate heats up again. This one actually gets really good now. Oh, bless you. This one gets very good now because the FOSS Patents website has now come out with basically saying that Samsung has now filed an international trade commission injunction against Apple.
Booyah.
Basically asking for them to restrict the import of Apple product into the United States.
My God. Man, just take that's a good stab, man. Like, so, well done.
So not only did they actually take it to the ITC, but they basically said, we want to basically freeze importation of the Apple devices, because they're all being made in China and so forth, freeze the importation of these devices until case. Now, there was I saw a lot of talk about this. People going, oh, they're going to freeze up the thing. First of all, it takes years for something like this to go through, this sort of case to happen.
Yeah.
And 99% of the time, after those years happen, it's just a payout and everybody's happy. So your Apple products aren't going anywhere. But the statement of that move is phenomenal. It also should be noted that they're now fighting this war on this case, and I should say war, on several fronts, because apparently it's now been filed, there's been complaints filed in Korea, in South Korea. There's now been a case filed in Europe, and there is a lawsuit in Japan.
Right.
So Samsung and Apple are going head-to-head on this in, like, four different fronts. So this is going to be very interesting to see where all of this goes to.
That's great.
What are we saying in the chat room? Anything I should know about? We'll move on. You guys... Keep it going there. I'm kind of half watching you. all right. Speaking of Apple, though, how profitable is Apple? All right, this just got me. There was an article that came up in Gizmodo. Delta sent me the link, of course. That basically talked about how much money does Apple actually make as compared to other PC manufacturers. Mm. And they actually brought up the point that HP makes $52 profit on one of their machines. Mm. Apple makes $370 on one of their machines. So in short, Apple makes more than HP does by seven machines per every one machine they sell.
Jesus.
Now, all I could think about that was there's got to be more wiggle room in negotiation when buying an Apple product.
It's hilarious that, you know, you find out that sort of stuff because it's like, as, you know, someone that works on the shop floor for it, it's like, I am actually sick of telling people they can't have a discount on Macs because the only one that's making that decision is Mac themselves.
I know. Yeah. And you look at that and you go, there should be tons of wiggle room in there.
Yeah.
You know, that's a lot of profit on a PC. Sure. So I don't know why there isn't more wiggle room when you're actually negotiating with one of these salespeople. And that's, once again, it's because Apple controls the line.
And it's like outside Apple themselves, like we all have rules we have to thing to actually have Apple computers in our, you know, in our stores. Mm. And it's like there is no room for negotiation.
Yeah. Shall we talk about hackers?
Yeah.
Third week in a row?
Don't get me started on hackers.
Oh, really?
I've had personal experience with hackers.
Oh, tell us.
About 2 weeks ago, DVD Bits via our server was hacked. Had a big. I woke up one morning and DVD Bits had a big sign on the front of it saying, "You have been hacked by the Turkish hackers." And I believe the quote on the front was, "You are your site are hacked." Your site are fucked. I think it actually said.
Wow.
Did you have a backup?
Yeah. Look, it was fine. They pretty much. It was basically sort of malicious hacking. It wasn't really. It was just sort of being clever for the sake of it. They didn't take down anything important.
Yeah.
All the files were still there, but the server had to do some things to, you know, we interrupted our...
So basically what they did was they rerouted your IP.
They rerouted our IP. Yeah. We had to... look, the database was still intact, thank God. And, you know, we lost access to it for a while, but it's just been a pain in the ass getting it back for the last week. Mm. We're back online now.
Hooray!
Hey. DVDbits.com. And, but, you know, it's just... it was a pain. It wasn't just me. It was around the time that the other 4,800 people lost access to websites in Australia.
We talked about that last week.
You did.
We?
I was one of the lucky ones because, you know, I regained access to my site. But from what I understand, 4,800 people will never get access to their stuff again.
Jesus, man, that's so fucked up.
You know, and some of these are businesses. I'm just, you know, reviewing DVDs and that stuff.
You do the important stuff.
I did, yeah, absolutely.
That's probably why they let you go. They're probably like, oh, we'll hack him, but, you know, it's a nice site. So
this DVD man, we like him.
He can stay.
So, all right, let's talk about hacking on a grander scale now, shall we?
No. How much grander can you get?
Lulzsec. Lulzsec actually called it quits. They just decided they did everything that they did, and then one day just put out a statement saying, our 50-day voyage is up. We're done. Wow. Thank you. And they claim that it was always supposed to be a 50-day voyage, but there are people who are now debating that, saying that the FBI is actually doing manhunts. There's been one arrest. There's been another woman who was actually questioned, and have we gotten to a point where Lulzsec basically said, maybe we should just call this quits now?
I think now that people are starting to actually respond to what they're doing, they're probably a little freaked out.
Yeah, well, it was an interesting voyage, and we've talked about it a lot. Now, a lot of the people who are in Lulzsec are basically refeeding back into things like Anonymous and all that sort of stuff. But the FBI is on a manhunt, and it's really interesting because some of the things that they've talked about, one of the people that they're after, who they believe is one of the Lulzsec higher-ups, they actually believe is 16 years old.
Wow.
So they're looking for that person.
It's more of a boy hunt than a man hunt.
Well, that's good. I like that.
Sorry, what were we talking about?
But there was an article on the New York Times, which I thought was very interesting, which basically said, let's not get too excited about this, because the fact that Lulzsec is gone does not end hacker activity.
Nope.
Basically, the article was saying that these people are just going to pop up in other places. You're going to see different groups form. The overall effect of Lulzsec is still going to be felt for some time. There's also a group of hackers that came came out called The A-Team, who are kind of like who are kind of like white hat hackers almost, where they were basically saying, we know all the details about LulzSec, and they were handing out details on the people who were involved in it. So there's a lot of mess happening around all of this. The thing I thought was very interesting was LulzSec, as a parting gift, delivered one more package into the torrent sites, which had lots of information in it and so forth, but also contained a virus. And as the point that this person said on Gizmodo, you're trying to set yourself up. Now, we're making the assumption that it was a mistake. All right. And apparently Anonymous has now taken the package, cleaned it, taken the virus out, and reissued it. So Anonymous kind of fixed it up for people. But they're saying nothing says trust us, we're doing everything for you and for a cause than giving people a virus, you know?
Well, no. you were just telling me that the package is essentially names and phone numbers and stuff like that, correct? Like
I would assume that it's like all of their other packages, which is information.
I actually think that that is exactly what they're doing, realistically, if you think about it, because basically they're turning around and going, yeah, here's all these details. Ha, fuck you, you downloaded it, there, but you get a virus. It's like, no, in some ways it's kind of almost supportive, but they shouldn't have dropped it up on the net anyway.
No, if you look at Gizmodo, Gizmodo sums this up by saying, Anonymous now in charge of the anti-sec crusade, acknowledge the infection, intentional or otherwise, and promise a clean torrent would be uploaded, which they have done. They'd better hope people give them another chance, because really, what says, trust us, not global corporations like spreading a virus-laden copy. And once again, I love the way Gizmodo writes. I just think they're fabulous. And there's another article that also came out through Gizmodo, which I thought was an absolutely fabulous article this week, which basically says, it's comparing the two and saying why Anonymous isn't LulzSec. And they're basically saying that LulzSec was this grandiose fuck everybody up, you know, we ride the SS LulzSec. They were incredibly funny. They were incredibly well, they were great writers. I mean, their statements were always so flowery and beautiful and all this, but Anonymous is much more directional. Anonymous basically picks a cause.
They've been in there for a long time, man.
That's right. And they basically pick a cause and they go. And so now, and this article is pointing out that Anonymous now basically stands alone on the great scheme of things. And it just shows you the kind of like a LulzSec that came along and burned very brightly and burned up very fast, whereas Anonymous just keeps plugging away, and
that's,
you know,
what they do,
and they're just going to be around for a long time to come. It's a great set of links. Go and have a look at them, because it gives you more detail as to who the A-Team thinks that they're actually outing as LulzSec. I'm kind of paraphrasing because we are running a little bit over, but I think we're reaching the end of Hackerpalooza 2011. Is what I'm trying to say here.
It's been a fun ride, though.
It's been a fun ride for the last few weeks. It got very scary there at one point. But what I found really fascinating, though, Josh, was last week LulzSec came out with that announcement, basically declaring war on the world, if you remember.
That's right.
Maybe that's their last joke right there.
It kind of was, because they actually disbanded the next day.
It's kind of like they scared the entire world. Everybody was like, oh god, we're all going to die. And then all of a sudden they were just like, and we're out.
And we're done.
It's classic passive resistance, you know. We're going to bring you down by just sitting down and having a couple of, you know, vitamin shakes.
And yeah, Callisynth wants to point out in our chat room that it is worth noting that there are many, many more hacker groups out there.
Yes.
Just the really scary ones don't let you know that they have your credit card info. And yes, that's very true. I'm not trying to say that the Anonymous is the only hacker group. It's just that as one of these huge conglomerate, public, in-your-face, we're out there to stand up and be an activist, or hacktivist, as the case might be, they do kind of stand alone.
Because you're,
mine, dude. It's actually, that's what people are calling
it. Claim it for your own.
I'd love to, but then people would say, oh, you just copy people. I'm out of coffee. Who drank my coffee? All right.
I don't think you need any more coffee today,
Dad. You need to start drinking coffee.
Are you saying I'm a little hyper?
No, Dad, no.
Just to irritate Josh, I put this link in.
Oh, yeah.
You see how much he loves me?
I love you, dude. I can feel it.
I love you, dude, but I had to put this in because of our discussion last week. If you remember, we had a discussion about New York Times paywalls. And you were saying, God damn it, I believe that they should be paying and blah, blah, blah. Mm. There was an article on Gizmodo that basically says in 3 simple steps in about 2 seconds, and I've done it, it works. You can actually hack the New York Times paywall. And read everything you want for free.
Oh, come on. That's hilarious.
Dude, yeah. I'm a librarian. I get everything for free.
Now, to do this hack is not actually a hack. It is the simplest thing in the world. When you go to the New York Times... On the address bar, you'll see that there's the address, and it'll end with a question mark and then some other stuff. Mm-hmm. Delete the question mark onwards, and then reload the page, and you're in.
Mm. Oh, wow. No, I don't think that'll be. I don't think that'll be up for long.
No, I think, as I said, there will probably be a fix soon. And as they say, this is a glaring mistake in programming on the New York Times behalf. But as of last night, it was still working. So I actually went and had a look at it, and I was... scooting around, no problem. And I would like to point out, I was scooting around on the New York Times, no problem. On my iPad, which is what they blocked. All right, so yes, so so yes, New York Times, you might want to have a look at that paywall of yours.
Fucking great.
Now, GeoHot, yeah, our favorite, GeoHot's our favorite,
yeah.
Our favorite.
Oh man, GeoHot's
our favorite hacker. Do you know what he's doing?
What?
He just got a job working for Facebook.
Justice is served.
Basically, he's been picked up and he's now programming for Facebook. And he actually tweeted out that he's had one of his first hackathons, you know, where they actually do the whole Facebook hack thing. And he's got the job. And there is actually speculation. I actually have a picture of him here on the screen. Here you go.
He's so ugly.
There he is. So
he's
basically.
Hey, man, I can throw whatever insult I wanted him. He works for Facebook.
He's also got an iPhone.
Well, yeah, the reason he has that iPhone, Richard, is because according to this article on this is from news.com.au, apparently his first claim to fame was he was one of the first people who actually jailbroke the iPhone.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So he's responsible for one of the first hacks that came out on the iPhone, and then of course he hacked the PS3, and that's where all the problems started.
How old is he?
He is 21.
Wow.
Now he is 21. So that means when he hacked the iPhone, he would have been
3. Wait, hang on. My mouth might be a little off.
Yeah,
just try that one again.
Well, we're talking, what, 4 years ago now?
Yeah.
About 4 years ago, something like that. So, yeah, he would have been like 16, 17.
Nice.
Yeah, good for him. I'd like to point out that Sony, who this article is very quick to point out that for all of the court battles and everything that they chased GeoHot around for, we should actually give him full credit for his name, shouldn't we? What's his real name? George Hotz. Basically, with everything that they did to try and stop him doing what he was doing, and they finally got the injunctions, and he stopped it, and they've all settled, and all that sort of stuff, they then got hacked by LulzSec and Anonymous, and they have lost something in the realms of $160 million in revenue because of a retaliation about him. So,
and there's so much we could say about that.
Yeah, so
let's just let that
slide. Yeah, it says here, Hotz also claimed responsibility back in 2008 for unlocking the iPhone.
Yeah.
So yes, he's now working at Facebook, and the rumor kicking around the rumor mill, and there's nothing to substantiate this, but of the course. Rumor kicking around the rumor mill is he is one of the people who is programming the new iPad Facebook app. Because remember, we were talking about the fact that there is no actual iPad Facebook app. Apparently, he is on that team. That is the rumor. I don't have anything to substantiate that. Anyway, so yeah, there you go. George Hotz, good for you. I'm sure. I hope you're being paid a lot of money. And
so do I.
And
I don't.
Why?
Because I want that money.
Well, you know what, man? You've got to cause a worldwide controversy, and then maybe we'll...
Well, we've got a few hours to go, yeah.
He just starts furiously typing on his laptop. I'll bring something down.
All right, what do we got in the chat room? People are talking. It says, yes, along with the hacked PS3 and iPhone, they stole money. LulzSec pretty much started the PS3 thing. Yes, we know that. Mm-hmm. They stole a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. And James from Melbourne says, nothing like having principles, I guess. all right, good stuff. This is just an accident waiting to happen.
All right. I love those.
This is kind of scary. We've all talked about the self-driving cars and all this sort of stuff. Volkswagen has actually released their new car, which is actually going to have autopilot.
Excellent.
Of course, why not?
Geekology has an article that basically says it's a new autopilot feature that lets you take your hands off the wheel on a highway at speeds of up to 80 miles per hour.
Holy shit.
Man, that's a lot
now,
of...
80 miles per hour is what? That's 100 and... 100 and...
Well, you know how good I am at math.
40, 150 kilometers
about
an hour?
About that. Sounds
yeah,
about right.
Something like that. Because, as Geekology says, because holy shit, you want to die. according to Volkswagen, it says, quote unquote, the system pairs lane assist with cruise control. And can be overridden by the driver at any time. I sure hope it could be. What are we looking at?
I'm looking at the article now.
Oh, okay. The TAP, or temporary autopilot system pilot mode. Does that mean temporary autopilot? Does that mean you take your hands off the wheel and the car drives forward and then you grab the wheel like crazy because you're about to crash?
So what happens is you're driving forward and then you take your hands off the wheel and it activates and then it struggles to find a GPS signal and drives you off the road.
Sounds good.
Is that kind of like what's going to happen here?
All right. It says how it works. It says the TAP, or temporary autopilot systems pilot mode, uses radar, laser, camera, and ultrasonic sensors to maintain a safe distance between vehicles. It doesn't say anything about trees.
Okay. Or people. Or
people. It says start and stop in traffic and slow down before bend. Speed is set by the driver. Oh, good. So you could just like floor it. who you'll need to remain aware of your surroundings in case you need to take control. So you can't read a book.
No.
So my question is, if you still have to watch the road, you still have to maintain control of the car at all times, why would I want to take my hands off the wheel?
You know, it's for those times when you're like, I need to get that music album. You know when people just tend to do that naturally now, where they just jump backwards over the thing and, you know...
Or they want to stop Billy from doing whatever he's doing in the back seat. Yeah.
You can turn around and smack your kids now.
I know, you can smack them repeatedly.
Ah, yeah, there you go.
And Callison says he only trusts the Google autopilot because, you know, Google does no wrong, apparently.
Oh, of course not.
Yeah.
Google aren't trying to kill us.
It says, all right... According to Geekology, it says the driving work that we've been seeing in this house, so they're saying, you know, reading a book, eating a bowl of cereal, whatever, right? I see this as an accident waiting to happen. I see people sitting there going, I'll just engage my autopilot here and then, you know, root around here for some music or something like that and look up the road and go, oh, crap, what's that?
Why am I going the opposite way? Where am I?
So, nice idea, Volkswagen. I'm not going to trust it. Not yet. And yes, I mean, the Google car is a whole different issue because the Google car is designed to be an autonomous vehicle. Mm. It is more hardware than people. And also, it's only in testing stage at this point, you know? And it's driving on abandoned roads. So I just don't know if I'd want to be on the Autobahn.
No.
Trusting the autopilot, you know? Anyway, for the gamers out there in the world, the Mana Bar is opening in Melbourne, finally. You know, they've been promising this since the beginning of the year.
And apparently in Sydney eventually, too.
Yeah. Oh, well, they've got a date for Melbourne, though. July 16th. So if you are in Melbourne and you want to go to the Mana Bar, there you go.
I'll be down there at the end of the month. I'll report back.
Oh, please do. And where is it? It's in Footscray or something.
Yeah, it's in Fitzroy.
Fitzroy. Yeah. All right, so Fitzroy. So yeah, so if you're in Melbourne around the 16th, go check it out. For those who don't know what the Mana Bar is, it's basically a bar with video games. So go check it out. And they've been, as I say, there's been some delays on opening this Melbourne branch of the Mana Bar.
I don't know. I still don't know how it's going to work in other states. Because you see, Brisbane, and like people can feel free to disagree with me if they want. But like, you know, Brisbane is kind of a place full of relatively nice people. You know, like Brisbane is a nice kind of an area. And it's like they don't really have fights in that bar. I've talked to the guy and apparently there's no real sort of kerfuffle that happens on a general basis. If you're going to drop this in other states, it may not work so well. Can you imagine the Sydney Mana Bar? Ooh. It'd be on fire within like 3 days.
And people in the chat room called me.
All it's going to take, all that it's going to take, is one or two FIFA rounds gone wrong, and you can see that stuff.
Well, I was about to say, have you been to Fitzroy? Fitzroy is incredibly heavily Mediterranean.
Oh,
it's all Greek and Italian restaurants.
Oh, Jesus!
And look, Fitzroy is a lovely place, and the food there is wonderful. And the strips where all the restaurants are fantastic.
Shout out Fitzroy!
I used to live in Fitzroy. I love Fitzroy. You know,
never been there.
But as you were saying, you're your perfect example there. one wrong step with FIFA, and I can see fights breaking out there. You know, they take their soccer pretty seriously down there. okay, according to James from Melbourne, he says if we come down to Melbourne, he first round of beers are on him.
Yes,
James. Shouldn't make promises like that.
You don't know how much we drink.
I usually drink for free. You do not want to test how far I can take
it. Digital Angel wants to know whether you or Josh, and whether Josh was blind and deaf when you were in Brisbane.
Perhaps I was.
Or drunk.
Yeah. I was getting to that. It was like I had consumed a lot of alcohol. Does that count?
He was knocked out by that guy that smacked him in the face.
Everyone else I remember of the night was really...
Calisynth will back you up, though. He says, according to the bouncer, the Brisbane Manor Bar, the other bars do have a lot of fights, but he says the Manor Bar patrons are usually peaceful. That's because they're all gamer geeks.
Yeah.
They call it football, Dave. I know what it's called, but if you call it football here, they think you're talking about Aussie rules in Melbourne, all right? Yeah. So we have to call it soccer because there's other footballs as well.
Yeah,
that's my point. Sorry, digital.
Moving right along.
We always like geek clothes.
Mm-hmm. Oh yes,
yes. We always like geek clothes.
I thought we were going to skip this story. I'm glad we're not.
No. I always come back to them eventually. stream of consciousness with my show notes. this is the new bra that is the NES controller on it because, of course. What gamer wouldn't want to play with boobs that had an NES controller on the front of them?
It's really badly made.
Look, it's just like a spray paint stencil across the two boobs, but, you know, what the hell? I was trying to find a picture of it on somebody, but I couldn't find one.
Yeah, I just find that really unattractive.
I think the 8-bit stocking tops was better.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think the 8-bit stocking tops were better. But there you go. There's a little bit of geek clothing for you. So far, let's recap here. We can get our girlfriend, as geeks, we can get our girlfriends now wear 8-bit stocking tops, the NES bra. What else have we done so far? We've also done, the R2-D2 swimsuit.
Yes, yeah.
What else? Can anybody else help me out here? What else? I think the R2-D2 swimsuit was better since Calisynth, yes. Okay. Digital Angel says we're seriously creepy.
You didn't know the half of it. The Wookiee Hairy Mankini, says James Trimble.
Oh. Dear.
Things you just want to forget about.
All right, let's talk about weird food. This week's weird food is actually kind of light. All right, we're not getting into the really weird food here. We've done turd burgers and so forth recently, and I just felt like we just needed lighten this up a little bit.
I can imagine.
But I thought this was actually quite interesting. Delta once again found this link for us. And this is basically hamburger meat or artificial meat being grown out of stem cells.
Right.
The idea is it's basically test tube meat, and the idea is that we don't have to kill any animals to make meat. We can just generate meat. Now, I think I would rather have test tube meat than turd burger meat. So I think that is definitely, definitely the case. It does say, though, that currently they're developing a burger, but it would actually have to be grown from 10,000 stem cells.
Wow.
So we're not quite economically set up to do this.
It doesn't seem like it.
This is really interesting. It's the only vegetarian on the panel here.
You're a freak.
I am a freak, yes. Nice. Wearing some sort of Czech shirt. I've just noticed on this page I'm looking at there's a link story to that armpit. So the armpits come back to haunt me already.
Oh, God.
Hold on.
You mean that one?
Yeah. But as the only vegetarian here, I mean, it is an interesting moral dilemma. I started not eating meat for because I just couldn't separate the thing from the animal that it came from. That was the reason. And, you know, over the last 12, 13 years that I've not been eating meat, I've just lost the taste for it. But it brings about an interesting moral dilemma. You know, if it's not actually
meat,
and if it's not an animal actually dying from it, is it okay for me to eat it?
See, here's an interesting point for you, because this is a way that you could get real bacon.
Mm. Yeah.
If we could generate real bacon from stem cells...
James from Melbourne, damn straight, not dogs are better than hot dogs. Almost as good as bacon.
And Digital Angel would like to point out that you're the only vegetarian because you have a small furry animal on your face that you've grown quite attached to.
Yeah, I try to eat meat, but the animal gets to it first.
And your beard would sit there going, not my brother, not my brother.
All right, so that's creepy.
No.
Let's go back to
the armpit. That's creepy. Okay.
Yeah, that is creepy, Dave.
I wouldn't eat that, just for the record.
No, I'm not gonna eat that. I can imagine there's going to be some sort of weird sexual fetish in the future where people will be sniffing the fake armpits.
Oh, stop! Okay,
you know, fetishes are like that, man.
Good Lord.
What makes you think the people who invented it aren't doing that right now?
That's true. They probably invented it because of that reason. Girls won't let me sniff their armpits anymore. I make my own.
You can imagine them applying for a grant at the university for that. Girls won't let me sniff their armpits anymore, and I at least find a way to do this on time. Sir, you found a problem that we all need a solution to.
Delta Knight will say, what sites do you read, Dave? What are you getting at?
I'm with you, dude. I don't want to know what Dave does.
And Digital Angel says, somebody needs to hack my computer right now to remove that picture. Sorry, you mean that picture?
You guys disgust me.
All right, let's have a little bit of fun here. The second piece of food news is actually not about food itself.
Right.
It's about an advertising campaign from, if you're from America, Hardee's restaurants in West Coast, they're called Carl's Jr. restaurants, have released this new ad. Now, there's two versions of this ad. There's a long version and a short version. We're only going to play the short version because it gets the point across. There's very little talking in this ad, so it's very visual. So for our audio listeners, you're just really going to hear some music and a voiceover. I do suggest you go and look at the ad because it is really, really cute. Okay? For our viewers, here's the ad.
Machines can't eat it, machines shouldn't make it, and that's just the way it is. The new hand-breaded chicken filet sandwich from Hardee's.
That's great.
I love the look. I just love him smashing the hamburger into his face trying to eat it. I think it's okay. Now, the thing that should be pointed out about this ad is that it's not CG.
That's an actual robot.
It's a combination of puppetry, a man in a suit, a robot, and so forth. And they've used CG to, like, remove the puppeteers and stuff. But that is a physical bot. They've actually made the puppet and, you know. That's like, when so it walks cool. into the room, it's actually a person in a suit. And then they've just altered the head. And when he's actually doing the eating, it's a rod puppet.
Wow.
Now, the longer version of that ad actually has him getting mad. And he lasers the whole room and the whole room falls apart and stuff like that. And it's about a minute long. But as I said, because there's no dialogue or anything, I thought we'll just play the short version for the show. But if you go follow our link in the show notes, you can see both versions and a behind the scenes video of how they put it together. It's a really cute little ad. And I just love it. I just thought that was fabulous. All right. Let's do some picks of the week. What do you think?
All right.
What are you looking at?
I've just found a website that's reimagined famous cars as the cars from Pixar's Cars.
Oh, that.
That's really cool. They've got the Ghostbusters mobile
with eyes.
They've got Herbie. They've got the pod racer as Mater from
no, the land speeder.
The land speeder, sorry.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Keep that link. We'll have to put that link in the show notes. That's really cute. So it's Geekology, is it?
It's Geekology, yeah. Well,
that's actually funnier than the film, though, I must say.
Yeah, everything's funnier than the film.
I was just waiting for that to fly out.
All right, so in our picks of the week, the only thing that I'm going to choose is a pick of the week, basically. Actually, no, I've got two things I'll pick very quickly. Okay. First of all is, you know how we were playing Order and Chaos? There's a new game that's been released once again. I think it is actually the same company again. Who are they called again? What are they called again?
Gamesloft? Is that who you
mean? Gameloft, yeah, that's right, yeah. This one is called, where is it? Yeah, here it is. I've just fired up. Problem with Gameloft is they always abridge the names. Oh, I didn't realize my volume was up on this thing. They always abridge names on the icon, so it's hard to find the actual name. So let me just get the game up and we'll find out. Now, I'm not fully recommending this yet because I haven't fully played it yet, but I've just played a little bit of this. It's actually an RPG, Sacred Odyssey, The Rise of Aiden is what it's called. Now, it's using basically the same sort of graphics engine and everything else as Order and Chaos, but it's not an online game. It's a straight RPG. So you just work your way through the kingdom, same sort of control system, and you're not having to deal with, you know, other people and other players. You're just playing it out. Now, the thing that's kind of interesting about it is the fact that it's free. You download it, And then there's an in-app purchase, just like they did with Starfront, right? Which is it's $8.99 if you want to keep playing. But the game is fully featured for the first couple of levels, so you play the first couple of levels, see if you like it, and if you like it, then you can then pay the $8.99 and unlock the rest of the levels. Which is an interesting thing that's happening in the iTunes store a lot lately.
That's pissing Apple off something.
Well, they still get their 30% either way it looks at it. So, but they actually said, I remember one of the things about Apple was they actually said no demos was part of the thing. So they're kind of bypassing the concept of demo by doing it this way, you know?
Awesomeness.
So I thought that was kind of neat. And the other one I wanted to mention is on Xbox, we've been playing Pirates of the Caribbean, Lego Pirates of the Caribbean, which I've just finished. And it is awesome. It's actually the best of the Lego games since Batman. It really, really is a great, fun game. And they've really captured the essence of all of the characters, including even having the little Lego character of Jack Sparrow walking in kind of this little fey way. It's just brilliant. And it's lots of puzzle solving, and it's a lot of fun.
I've got a soft spot for the Lego games.
Mm. Oh, me too. I've played them all. I love them. I think they're fabulous. I was not particularly overwhelmed with the second Indiana Jones one. I thought they overhauled the game mechanics of it a little bit too much.
Yeah, I didn't like the indie ones much at all.
I liked the first one. I didn't like the second one, but this is taking it back to the Batman-style games. Delta sent through a couple we should talk about very quickly. First of all, Skype is coming to iPad. We said that. It's not out yet, so we'd not get too excited. Infinite Loop for iPad is a new iPad stand. It can also be used on iPhones. Basically, it can be used for anything. They're using it for iPhones and iPads. But it's a really interesting little stand. This is what it looks like when it's in use. Nice. But the reason why it's interesting is the fact that it is just a bendable piece of plastic. Right. And so when you actually get it, it's all rolled up in a little ball, and you basically can mold it into any shape you want. And if you go to the website, which is in our show notes, you'll actually see you can actually bend it so that it can hook over the back of car seats and all sorts of stuff. And if you've got an iPhone, you can actually put a suction cup attachment on it, so it's suction cup at the back of your phone, and then you can stand the phone up and so forth. Really neat little stand. I'd be curious to try one of these. Yeah, try one of these out. And the other thing, we always look for new styluses. Josh and I have been big stylus fans. The Scribbly is coming out. Now, the problem with styluses is they all have basically the same sort of point and everything else, but they're all really awkward to use because they're all very thin, very short. This company said, well, screw all that. Let's make it look like a marking pen. So it just looks like a great big texter. And it looks like it works really well. Now, I haven't tried one of these, but here's a little video that demonstrates the Scribbly at work. So you can see, it just looks like a big
seems to be quite accurate as well.
Nice big art line pen. I actually feel like I want to buy one of these.
Yeah.
Because I like the idea of just a nice big chunky pen in my hand. So, and you can see that they use it for all sorts of things. And here they are using it in a game.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
It's a good game, by the way.
I haven't played that. Is that good? It's air traffic controller.
Addictive as.
Yeah.
It looks like it's got a lot of control.
Yeah.
I had a question about pens, though. Let me just drop the sound out off on this. My question about pens are, when is somebody going to come up with, and I'm sure the technology must exist, and I'm sure Wacom, as we said last week, is releasing a pen, a stylus, and I'm surprised they didn't do it. When are they going to release a Bluetooth-enabled pen that actually has circuitry inside it? iPads are not pressure sensitive. Why can't you put the pressure sensitivity in the tip of the pen? The pen pairs with it, and how much pressure you put on the pen actually will give you pressure.
And that would take out the hand as well, because you wouldn't be able to write because it would all go through the pen.
That's right.
Exactly. Yeah, no, that's a brilliant idea,
Dave. And I don't know why somebody hasn't thought of that yet. There must be some sort of mechanical thing I'm overlooking.
Trademark it now.
Patent it.
Patent pending.
We must patent everything. Join the patent wars. All right, so those are mine. Have you guys been doing anything this week?
I'd like to do a quick drop out to the I have found the first game on 3DS that is actually fucking useful. which is I have the Legend of Zelda reimagining on 3DS, and let me just say it is the most incredible game that Nintendo have put out in the last 5 years.
Okay, I've heard something disturbing about this, though. I heard this yesterday, and I want to verify that this is true or not. Apparently, you cannot start the game a second time.
No, definitely not true, because I have 2 save files.
Okay, because according to, I was listening to something the other day that was saying that the 3DS is actually, it may not be Zelda, maybe it's another game that they're about to release, but apparently you play it through,
yeah,
And then once you've played it through, you can go back and play with any of your save files and so forth, but you can never start a new game, basically killing the secondhand market on the game. So basically, it's a locked save file that says once you've started it, you can't go back and do it again.
I haven't encountered that yet.
I will look up some more information. I heard this in passing, and I forgot to put the notes down on it because I wanted to run this past you and say, what do you know about this? Because I think that is shocking.
Yeah.
Haven't encountered it either.
Actually, that's she's right. It could be the new Resident Evil game because I know that sort of stuff.
Oh, maybe that's right. Maybe that's what it is. Yeah.
No, but the new Zelda game is incredible. It's like, number one, it's an amazing port. It was one of definitely my teenage favorite games because it was just an absolutely brilliant storyline. It's essentially a friend put it perfectly. He said it's the perfect hero's journey. Like, that's what it is. And it's an incredibly detailed game. They have put so much effort into making it look nice. Like, just better rounded edges, proper facial animation. Like, everything looks so much nicer, and it's very high def. The 3D works amazingly. Oh, I've been playing it in 3D, and it's just spectacular. Like, it's watchable. You can play it for a long period of time.
It's deep. It feels deep.
It's deep. Like, everything feels like it's well animated. Then on top of that, you have a completely revamped control system, keeping as close to the original as they could, but making it work on a handheld.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the touch screen is very intuitive. Like, it works very well because you've got an extra couple of buttons, which you need for the game because there's not quite enough buttons on it. So you've got a few on screen. You can decide which one you want for different things. So you can actually, you know, sort of set up your own control system. And on top of all of that, it's been kind of almost feels like it's been built from the ground up because none of the dialogue or anything like that leads back to the N64 control system. It's all vamped for the current system that you're playing. So it's been an absolute beautiful experience. And I've sat on the couch for quite a few hours now and just got lost in the game again.
Cool.
And it's just, I never thought that they could get it right. But they really have.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. Have you got a 3DS, Richard?
I have got a 3DS. And in fact, that would have been my geek pick for the week as well, actually. Yeah. I picked it up. It was the first new game for the 3DS I've picked up since I've bought it.
Thank you. Me too.
It was worth it, every penny of it. And everything Josh has said, I could repeat, but I won't.
Yeah.
But it is a beautiful game. It is like discovering the game all over again for the first time. It's almost like it's a new game. If it just came out with no history whatsoever of Zelda at all, I put that out on the market now, it would be, you know, up there with some of the best
games. I would actually say that unless something gets in the way of it, this is probably the closest to a perfect 10 game I will ever give.
Yeah.
Wow. Like,
it is just
something.
Yeah, like, it look, the game was originally amazing, and it was fun, but I always hated the controls because of the controller, and this just adds 3D and fixes the control system, so it's just perfect.
They brought it out for the Wii VC, didn't they?
Mm.
Not too long ago, and that wasn't, I mean, it was okay. But it was the game, but I didn't get back into it. I actually found myself immersed in a way that I never was.
I have stuck headphones on and just disappeared into a corner of the room and just started enjoying it, and that's really all that I'm doing, and it's just everything about it. The soundtrack is just fantastic. The gameplay is amazing. It warms my heart every time I open the DS and just hear the opening music, and I'm just like,
you can't go wrong with a Zelda game.
Okay, sorry, we've just got a link in our chat room. Thank you very much, chat room. This is why we have a chat room. Who sent us sent us the article about this Resident Evil game on 3DS. It actually says saving. The game automatically saves when you leave the results screen. Only autosave is set on in options. Note, saved data on this software cannot be reset.
Wow.
So
it is kind of a multiplayer only game anyway, really. It's basically, if anybody's played 4 or 5 Resident Evils, it is the mercenary mode from that. That is essentially what the game is. So it's just the same level over and over again, but you've got waves and waves of enemies and you'd have to fight them off. Like, it was a fun game, and if it's worth $50, it's probably worth the money because it was actually more fun for me than the actual Resident Evil 5 game was. But I can imagine why they didn't do it, because it's like you build up your abilities.
I played Resident Evil 1 and loved it. Never played another Resident Evil game, and then played the demo of Resident Evil, the last one. Was that 5?
5.
And hated it.
Well, the control system doesn't help itself, and this is the big problem with it, is that when you actually get into the game, you start to realize almost immediately you're just like, and this game fails because, and that's essentially what the issue is with the game. You start watching it, and you just realize that the control system's so flawed and so old, and they just haven't fixed it, and they're just like, it creates tension. 5 years ago, it created tension. Now it's just frustrating as shit. Moving and shooting are staples of gaming now, and if you can't get that right, get out of the market.
Yeah. We got a call coming in. Ooh. We've got a call. This is a spotlight report. Oh, hello. It just went away. They might want to try and call again. We just lost that call. Sorry, we've got sounds turned on Skype. I didn't even see it. Spotlight report. We're about to wrap this show up anyway. You might want to hold off call during the Film Actually show. All right. So a spotlight report is Jorge. So I actually invited Spotlight Report and Damn Good Cup to call in for this film actually because we were all at the screening together and
we shared that together.
And we shared it together, and I said you guys are welcome to call in during the show. So we'll see what happens. It could be a mess. We'll see what happens. As Callison in our chat room would like to point out that it might hurt his gaming cred, but he's never been a huge fan of Zelda.
No, look, dude, it's cool, but if you have a 3DS, this is the perfect time to get into it, because I guarantee you if you buy this game, you'll fall in love with it. And that's going to be very interesting, because the review we are doing on Raw DLC, Nathan has never played it either. Huh. So he is playing it with a fresh set of eyes, which I am really curious to see how that goes, considering the fact that A, RPG is not his main forte, and B, he's never played the game, so there's no nostalgia factor. So I want to know the difference.
I've never had a nostalgia for Zelda. I played a little bit of Zelda way, way back when it first came. What system are we talking about?
N64 was the one that has been revamped on this one.
Oh, but it would have come out. There were Zelda games on
SNES. There were Game Boy.
There was Game Boy. There was Nintendo.
It would have been SNES.
SNES, the early Zelda games.
I would play a little bit when I was working at the video library and we were renting out the systems. Mm. I never really grabbed me that much.
I don't think those early Zelda games quite got the same nostalgia level as the early Mario games. Mm. And Mario's obviously gone from strength to strength as well, and they've sort of run parallel to each other. But from N64 onwards, Zelda's been a powerful contender. I think that's where a lot of the nostalgia comes from the N64. Right. Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, I think we should wrap this up, don't you?
Sure.
I think we'll wrap this up and we'll get into some film stuff. First, before we wrap up, though, we've got to play this for you. Okay. This is the freakiest thing I've heard in a long time. Now, for any of us who are...
And we've heard a lot of freaky things. I've heard them all.
For those of us who are old enough to remember dial-up and be intimately familiar with dial-up, all know the handshake sounds of two modems talking. Bong-ong, bong-ong, that whole thing, right? Somebody here has taken...
Sorry, Dave, one more time.
Well, you may not want me to do that after you hear this. Somebody has taken the handshake, modem handshake, and slowed it down 700%.
Shit. Wow.
And it sounds like the score to a horror movie. Have a listen to this. This is awesome. Dude. Is that awesome?
Wow.
Wait for it. It gets, when it actually does the bomb, when it goes into those, it's deep tones.
He thought he was alone.
It's terrifying.
It sounds like something out of a Wes Craven film. It's really awesome.
Admittedly,
it's full of stars.
Wow, that's awesome, though.
Digital Angel in our chat room says, I'm too scared to turn around.
You've got to finish the trailer with somebody screaming. That's the way all good trailers end.
So anyway, so that it goes on. It's about 3 minutes long because when you slow it down 700%, that's what happens. It stretches out in time. But it's well worth having listened to. I think we're about to get to some good stuff here. There's a great bass tone, which is actually that bonging sound that it does, but here it is.
Oh wow, creepy.
That's awesome. Anyway, I'll let you go and listen to that. It's on YouTube. I've stripped the audio down. All it is a still picture with the sound playing in the background on YouTube. But go and have a listen to the whole thing, because it's really, you listen to it from beginning to end, you go, this could be feel very at home in a horror movie.
Yeah, no. I think somebody should definitely take that and run with it. I think it's fantastic.
I think what we need to do is start slowing down 700% a whole bunch of different sounds.
Yeah.
I think there's a whole bunch of things out there where they'll take on a whole new meaning.
Slow this podcast down by 700%. See how frightening.
I don't think you want to hear me at 700% slower. Or if we go 700% higher, it would actually get through this podcast in about a minute and a half. Which might not be such a bad thing. All right, let's wrap this up and say, if you agree or disagree with anything we've had to say today, or you just want to put in a link or something that you have found, please, by all means, feedback at geekactually.com, or you can voicemail us 02-8011-3167, or if you are outside of Australia or you are just cheap, you can use our you can use our Geek Actually ID, which is just Geek Actually, all one word. That's our Skype ID. Get merchandise like this fine cup here, or the fine cups that they're all using, or t-shirts or anything else. Join our fan page, follow us on Twitter, do all of these things. Just go to geekactually.com, and there's a follow us link right there on the side panel. Give you links to everything.
Yeah.
And as a reminder, we do this show live every Saturday starting around the 12 p.m. ish. We always say ish. Mark, Australian Eastern Standard Time, UTC plus 10, geekactually.com/live. Now, Richard, where can people find out more about you?
Just Google me. I'm everywhere, man. I'm on Twitter mainly at DVDBits. I have two websites, The Real Bits, that's R-E-E-L Bits. I've forgotten how to spell my own website, .com and DVDBits.com.
Cool.
Hooray.
And Josh, what have you been up to?
RoddyLC.com is a gaming website. Honestly, you threw me there because I was like, aren't I supposed to be pimping websites? Why am I talking about my week? RoddyLC.com is a gaming website. Head over there and check it out. We have a whole bunch of new, very cool content coming out this week. We got three more of the Live at Studio 33 videos coming out over the next couple of days. And then on top of that, we just have a bunch of reviews and then, of course, shows as well. So head over there and check it out.
Cool. Fantastic. And we got a couple of friends we like to pimp out on this show all the time because they're just great guys. First of all, there's the Real Junkies podcast, R-E-E-L Junkies podcast, which you can find over at weekendronan.com. Check them out. They're a movie review podcast soused in tequila, but you know, they're a lot of fun. And we also have to give a shout out to our friends Charlie and Brad, who are back, and their new podcast is finally out. And I love the name of their new podcast. It's called Good Day, Sir.
I say good day, sir.
And for those who don't know what that comes from, it is actually a Charlie and the Chocolate Factory reference. Yeah. It's good stuff. And their new podcast is kind of like this one. It's just kind of an overall everything podcast. They do movies, they do games, they talk about everything. And it's a lot of fun. You find them at reboundradio.com. You can check them out as well. And I think that's it. I think we're done. Problem is, I've abridged the show notes, so I don't have any of the feedback section on, so I think I may have missed people, but that's okay. We should do a shout-out, though, because we only do it every fourth or fifth show. So we should do a quick shout-out to Grant Noy, who did our great opening theme. Thank you, Grant. You're fantastic. And our cover art for the show is done by Josh Spencer over at attackninja.blogspot.com. See, I almost forgot him. I told you. I forget somebody. All right, that's it. We're done.
We're done.
I noticed that Delta Knight has actually put on his email for the links this week. He actually has now expanded his geek on that we like to steal. He's now got geek the fuck on. so I think we'll just stick with geek on.
Okay. Yeah, I think geek on's a bit better for us.
I think so. Okay. Have we got anything we should be slowed down permanently? Oh, James Melbourne says Justin Bieber should be slowed down permanently. Not even 700%, just completely. All right, guys, thank you very much. We'll join you. Remember, our Film Actually show comes up next on the live feed. We would love you to join us for that one or stay with us for that one. These boys have lost focus completely, so we're going to get out of here. Hey! And we're going to say,
as soon as you mentioned Bieber.
He just does it for you, does he? Geek on, everybody. We'll see you all next week. Bye now.
Bye. We'll be right back.